You're listening to the Provoke and Inspire podcast.
Welcome to the Provoke and Inspire podcast. Now, we have been doing a lot on Zoom as of recently because of our apologetic event, and I noticed something about Zoom. I don't want to knock our current platform, though I don't feel too bad. But either way, I noticed that their transition has this ability where the audio starts before the intro video ends, and it makes it way better. It makes it so much less awkward. Like, you can kind of hear Luke's kind of, you know, high-pitched, squealy voice.
Hey, welcome everybody to the...
You know, and so when that kicks in, then it's not so awkward.
Why do I talk like that? I've always wondered.
I don't know. I think it's repression. You're repressing something. Let's be honest.
Maybe I'm too excited, or I don't know.
Assumably... the chances are very good that we have a very good episode for you today. We're going to be talking to Craig Gross, from the porn pastor to the pot pastor. That's a lot of P's. And yes, that isn't a verbal typo. That is what I said. And so hopefully we're going to hear that little bleep, and he's going to join this call at any minute. And then we're going to be talking about Christian cannabis. There's many of you who maybe think, what? That seems like a bit of an oxymoron. That seems a little antithetical. But it's not. It's not. This is becoming an increasingly relevant topic, not just outside of the church, but in the church. I'll confess my ignorance. I kind of was like a lot of people, I think, thinking, really? Are we really having this conversation in the church? Are we really saying that as a Christian, it's okay to indulge in recreational marijuana use? And surprisingly, the answer for some people is yes. And so that is going to be the heart of this conversation. How do you make that case? Is there anything to that case? And despite all of the room for obvious jokes, we right now have a bit of a no-show at the moment. We're going to assume the best and prepare for the worst, as Napoleon once so eloquently said. So here's what we're going to do in his absence. This conversation, you know, I'd like to think, did a lot of preparation for this. You know, whenever we're talking about something that is controversial or tense, we want to do our homework. We want to make sure we understand the nuance and the various tentacles to it. But David, you were probably the biggest push for this. I think you probably Chad, or you, David, that first kind of realized what Craig's new initiative was and then kind of maybe proposed the idea? I don't know. Was it you, David?
Yeah, actually, it was me. I've been, you know, just with the whole here in the U.S., how every, you know, many states now have legalized it, and it's just a matter of time before it's legalized everywhere in the U.S. And now in New Zealand, it's legal, which is also like one of our countries, and many other places. I thought, this is a big deal. And I think a lot of people in the church are thinking that, if it's legal, you know, what's the big deal? And I think it's something we have to really talk about, because I think it's a very critical conversation right now.
From my perspective, This is not even a conversation outside of the church. For anyone who's on the edges of church or is deconstructing or maybe thinking about deconstructing or has walked away completely, from my vantage point anyway, from conversations and friendships, I don't think the recreational use of cannabis is even a...
No.
It's like, hey guys, should we talk about whether it's okay to grow our hair out long or not? You know, it's like, it's like, what are we talking about? You know, like,
right.
I mean, just look at these guys. Of course we should be talking about whether it's all right to grow hair out long. But I do think in the church, even within the church, it's a trending conversation. And I wonder whether someone like Craig is evidence that the trend is swinging way closer to pro cannabis than where those of us who consider ourselves more conservative would even understand. So,
yeah, I think again we're tap dancing a little bit. Obviously, this conversation was intended to be had directly with Craig, which is the ideal, and Lord willing will happen any minute now. But in the absence of that, I you know, again, as a influencer, as a public figure, and Triple X Church certainly made him a public figure, this new initiative of his is something that he's putting out there for the world. It's not just, hey, I'm okay with this personally, and it's kind of something I do on the side because it helps me. It's a rather ambitious initiative to actively promote marijuana for, you know, pot for not only the medicinal benefits, maybe even for the fun, but also for the spiritual benefits that it has. And so I think what we should do here as we're tap dancing is maybe pull up kind of one of the more interesting elements of his initiative. And that is this tract that he's created that essentially promotes it. Because I think that's the kind of, I think we're going to have to essentially argue with the tract if we can't argue with the person, right?
Yeah. Although, you know, I was just going back a little bit to what Chad said before. I wonder if there is a difference, though, between like the context in the US and thinking worldwide. It's still still a majority of countries in the world, it's still illegal to, you know, to use to traffic cannabis. And I think there's still a conversation going on, at least articles that I've read, there is still a conversation going on of even, you know, among psychiatrists or psychologists or in that realm of the effects and the harm of its use. So it's not entirely, I think I disagree that outside the church, it's all, everybody's all good for it. I know that in like, in pop culture, in culture in general, it would be less frowned upon than in the church. It would be like, oh, but I still think that population would be divided between people that think, ah, oh, it's probably not a good idea to get into that. It's probably, you know, they'd still see it as a drug and as something that is addictive or that can lead to other things. And then others that are just so, no, it's cool. And so I think, and there's still that illegal aspect in most countries around the world. It would still be seen as an illegal activity.
And I would agree, Luke, on with the caveat that in the next 1 to 5 years, we watch that change significantly across the globe. Now, of course, there's going to be exceptions, but even the fact that a country like Mexico is on the verge of legalizing marijuana for recreational use is like, that's crazy. But anyway, I know that we're kind of, probably aren't.
Here's what I think we should do. Okay. So I will admit that when we first started proposing this idea, I probably fell into the category of people who thought, what is there to talk about? Like, yes, I recognize I'm not dumb. I know that outside of the church, it's no big deal. You know, I think there's maybe kind of, it's maybe seen a little bit like, for those who use it excessively, it's a little bit mocked, you know, kind of like you're this withdrawn stoner dude. Like, I don't think that that's outright disparaged, but, you know, certainly high functioning, high achieving people maybe would look down at it on some level, but it's not, it's like flavors of ice cream. I don't think it's certainly seen as a moral issue for most people outside of the law. Right. And now as that barrier, as you say, Chad, as that barrier is being removed, I think people are going to become more and more relaxed about it. I think the thing that I want to talk about is, so I was watching several videos, reading several articles, and you know, I think often the problem that more liberal Christians or certainly pro-cannabis Christians have or pro-pot Christians have is the overly simplified binary idea of marijuana. Like, it's simply bad. It's just, there's just no ifs, buts, or maybes. Yeah. There's no context. There's no nuance. And as I dug into the subject, I do really think that while I certainly think for a recreational and spiritual reasons, I still firmly believe it's not biblical, I do think in general there's more nuance. First of all, I think we as Christians have to recognize the diversity of the subject, which is to say that there are there are the two main psychoactive ingredients. There's CBD and THC, and THC is the one that gets you high in the traditional sense. And so the benefits from CBD, again, I'm no scientist, but from my understanding, any version of it that doesn't include THC is fine if it has medicinal benefits. And one of you can correct me if I'm wrong. There's also various forms. It's not just smoking. There's mints, as Craig talks about. There's lotions. There's all sorts of different forms. There's different strengths, you know, some very, very strong, some very, very minimal. So there's that. There's the whole conversation around the criminal justice system that I think is valid but different, which is that it has been, in a sense, weaponized to target people and lock them up for crazy amounts of time, disproportionate amounts of time, in a way that is really damaging. And like I said, I think has been weaponized in some senses. So first of all, I think it's important to recognize all that. And then probably the biggest thing to recognize is the divide between medicinal and recreational, right? Because David, wouldn't you agree that and you even said this in your notes, that the more I look into it, I can see that there are very positive medicinal uses of it if that's genuinely the motivation and the way it's being used.
Well, I mean, I really did some research on this, and I hope Craig does show up because I'm really want to talk to him about this. But there's a lot of, I saw a video, I don't know if you guys saw it, of the guy who had Parkinson's.
Yeah.
And then he had a couple drops was it THC?
I'm not sure exactly what it was, but yeah, anyway.
The point is, it completely it was amazing. It was miraculous, the positive impact it had on him. And, you know, I had a friend who had terminal cancer, and one of the things that the doctor said is that he should get medical marijuana. It would really help him. And I said, man, you need to do it. And he, you know, because he's a Christian, he thought he couldn't do that because of the reputation that marijuana has. And I thought, man, I think for medical purposes, what's wrong with it? I mean, my mother-in-law, and Ben, you were there, Jody's mom died recently, and she was able to have morphine, which really helped her as she was dying. I mean, I really thank God for it, that she could have morphine. It was such a blessing. And in the same way, I think medical marijuana can be the same thing. So to me, that's a completely different subject. The thing that I struggled with Craig and others like him is to suggest that recreationally pot is a good thing, or that he even goes further and says that it enhances your spiritual growth. And that's the part that I really disagree with strongly, actually.
Yeah. So then on that note, I think that the other, okay, so there's all those peripheral aspects of nuance that I think are worth mentioning, but they are peripheral, I think. They are different things, and I think they're often used somewhat disingenuously to cloud the true context and motivation, which is for fun, or in this case, in Craig's case, for spirituality or for spiritual benefits. But then, you know, so, okay, the other lack of nuance can sometimes be, I think, similar to the conversation around homosexuality, which is that, you know, I remember reading and also hearing from Preston in his book where he's sitting next to a guy on a plane and, you know, he told him what he was writing, which was about this book on homosexuality. And the guy was just like, what's there to write about? It's wrong. It's just wrong. It's there's nothing to write about. And Preston said, where? Point in the Bible where it says that. And his point wasn't to say that it isn't wrong biblically, but mm-hmm. that it's more complicated than that. And that there isn't, unfortunately, a passage that says thou shalt not smoke weed, right? So it is a little bit more complicated. And so I think we need to at least acknowledge the fact that it takes more of an understanding of, okay, what do verses say that seem to suggest that it's not okay? And then where does wisdom come into all of this? And so I think sometimes people who have had a pro-pop perspective feel a little bit like, well, the Bible says it, that settles it, conversation over. And I don't think Christians have done themselves any justice by not treating it more, you know what I mean, with more complexity and more nuance, because I think it is wrong, Luke. But don't you agree that we have to approach it a little bit differently, as if we could thumb through and find a verse that just explicitly says, don't do this?
Yeah, definitely. It's like bringing it from a biblical perspective. It's exactly, you're not going to have a verse in the Bible that you're going to use and say, this is it, and this is why we can't use this substance. It's using wisdom. I think the way to go at it from a wisdom perspective is to really look at what entails the whole process of using the substance. What are the results of it? How does it affect my life? And
right.
I think that's what we should be thinking about in everything that we do, whether it's watching what we're watching or what we're eating or all these different things, we have to use wisdom. And so scripture does tell us to that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It tells us that it matters what we do with our lives, how we use our time. It shows us, it gives us purpose. It gives us something to live for. And that for me is a big part of this conversation. It's I have to look at, number one, physical effects of the substance on my body. Is that something I'm okay with? You could argue that various other things that we're okay with affect our bodies as well, but there are different levels. And so you do have to look at that. Does weed have different side effects that are problematic? But then even more than that for me, it is the spiritual aspect. It's where am I at in my life where that becomes part of my life. It becomes a habit that's okay for me to have. And there are different reasons for it. You guys have pointed out medicinal purposes. We're clear. I think we're all on the same page with that. Like, this is something that has been proven to be really useful in many different ways. But beyond that, the two that I've heard here are recreational and spiritual. And I think as a follower of Jesus, if I'm in a place where I'm needing something like that for recreational purposes, which is kind of similar to me as like drinking more than I should and till it alterates me till I get into that kind of state, then what's happening in my life where I'm needing to do that? And is there secrecy going on? Am I hiding things? Am I doing things in a way? And it's not really open and clear and like, yes, this is what Jesus wants me to do. It's more of that's a weak side in my life. And I think a number of people that are struggling with this might feel like that. They feel like, I don't know about this, but I do it and I'm not so comfortable with it, but this is something I do. That's one like motivational thing that's going on. On the other hand, you got Craig, who's kind of defending through his website and through his pamphlets that this is something really positive, that you can know God more, that you can have a spiritual experience. And it's kind of creating a feeling of this is good. It's okay. There's something good about this. And I would say on this side of it's something secret, something I'm struggling with, then I need to be able to think about why I'm in that place and deal with that and get stronger. And if it's the spiritual side, well, then I think the Bible does have a lot to say about whether we need a substance to find God and to know God more.
Yeah. Hey, just a quick reminder. We are supposed to be having a conversation with Craig Gross, who is the author of ChristianCannabis.com, right? Is it ChristianCannabis.com? Is that the website?
Yeah. ChristianCannabis.com.
He snagged that domain. But he ain't here. He didn't show up. Hopefully he shows up soon. In his absence, we're going to do our best to have this conversation because we really did prepare. We really do care about this. But if you're here and you're tuning in, and many of you are, we sincere apologies that Craig's not here. Hopefully he will join soon. I agree with you, Luke. It is an issue of wisdom. And there are definitely aspects of that, like what societal impacts, what personal impacts does it have? What's the motivation behind that? But it's not only wisdom, right? There are some scriptures, right, Chad, that we could hang our hats on or at least point to that would seem to suggest that recreational pot for the purposes of getting high, which in my estimation as someone who's never used it, is that that's kind of the point. First of all, correct me if I'm wrong. Second of all, do we got something in the Bible that I can say, I don't know, man, this doesn't seem to say that this is okay.
Yeah, you're definitely wrong. Nobody who consumes cannabis in any form is interested in how it affects them physically or mentally or in any other way. It's purely because it tastes so good.
Right. You can pair a nice joint with a nice chicken.
Yeah. Like I mean, the way it burns your throat and your lungs is just, it's special.
I've heard Doritos pair real nicely with a bong.
Yeah, it does. No, I think, you know, for me, I have a long, rich history with cannabis. I would cross out the word rich because my experience with cannabis was really, it's hard because I don't want to give away my best points without Craig being here. But I also want this to be really engaging and honoring to everyone listening. And so to me, cannabis has always included two sides to the coin. One is secreting, the other is lust. And almost every time that I've consumed cannabis, both before coming to Jesus and as a Christian, which I have done, I was either secreting from my wife, from my work, from my friends, from God, or I was using the or once in the experience of being high, I was then looking for how I could elevate the experience. So for me, as a lust addict, it's super easy to just go, well, if I was only viewing porn, then that would be porn plus pot equals like even higher high. And thankfully, God's worked an incredible amount of restoration in my heart to where neither cannabis nor porn are a part of my life. It's hard for me to look at cannabis and not also see that for me, it involves secrets and it involved lust. And so the verse, that's a long-winded way of saying Ephesians 5 says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Anyway, the point is to be sober-minded is celebrated as a biblical reality. So I don't know how you combine cannabis with a sober-minded biblical perspective. And I really do want to hear, I honestly want to hear from Craig how he kind of like goes about that or how he sees that. But it's hard as someone who I've used a lot of cannabis in my day, and it is very hard for me to reconcile how I could be sober plus high.
Right.
When I was, cause I was thinking a lot about this conversation, and I thought, you know, when Craig and hopefully he will join us soon, but when he came out with Christian Cannabis, I was just like, not one more thing. You know what I mean? It's like there's so many things out there to make it difficult for me to be present. You know what I mean? It's like my nephew, who's probably listening to this right now, Python, he has a VR game, you know, virtual reality game. And we're at this, some family thing, and he goes, you got to try this thing, you know? So I try it on this virtual reality game thing where you go up this elevator and then it looks like you're stepping off a skyscraper. You know, I don't know what it is.
Oculus.
But it was like, I could not believe it, because even though I knew it wasn't real, it felt so real that I was it freaked me out. In a good, you know, and it's like, man, this is amazing. And I thought I could go, you know, get so easily hooked on this. And I had a conversation with Aaron about it. You know, he's thinking, do you think I should get this? You know, and I'm going, I don't know, because I think I would just get hooked on it. So then you've got that. And then you've got, you know, the whole binge culture that we have now. Because of Netflix and other streaming things. And then, okay, and then you can numb yourself on alcohol. And it's like the whole Western culture is addicted to self-medication, whether it's food, alcohol, and now we have Christian pot. And I just thought, this is really bad. I mean, it's like
there's too many options of things you can do.
But it's like, I have seen, you know, and Craig was talking about, he felt all this stress, you know, because he's a very active guy, he's always doing something, planning something, and he was getting all these headaches and stuff, and hopefully he can talk about it himself if he joins us anytime soon. But for me, when I saw a breakthrough was when I unhooked and went and sought Jesus when I was at my university, and I went for long walks across Minneapolis, and I cried out to God. You know, it's like what we talk about all the time in Steiger's, you know, seeking God with a desperate heart. And that's when the transformation, that wasn't about just kind of numbing myself with another chemical or entertainment or VR game, but when I started to do that, that's when transformation came into my heart. You know, that's when everything changed. And I think the last thing we need now is Christian pot.
Yeah.
I think that's the last thing we need. It, you know, and if anything, the best option is get rid of all that garbage and spend time in God's presence, be in silence. Who did we have on recently? And he was saying, we need to be more silent in our hearing from God. I can't remember who it was. We had someone on.
Oh, Sean Bowles.
Yeah. And I just thought, man, this is the key. If you're listening to this, this is the key to spiritual transformation.
So
totally.
There's a pretty typical argument that, not Diego, you're cool too.
Diego's Frank, coming in hot.
Yeah, he came in hot. Frank Gonzalez, he asks about, you know, the classic argument. Well, you don't like pot, but you drink coffee, you take pills, you eat burgers, etc. Okay, well, first of all, I think there's two responses to this in my mind, and I would love to be giving these responses to Craig, but my responses are twofold. One, first of all, I think we're all adults enough and intelligent enough to know that there is a spectrum of agents and ingredients and in this case, psychoactive ingredients. I mean, come on, it's not all the same. Now, that doesn't mean that there are not valid arguments to be made in those directions, but I think we can all be mature enough to recognize that there is probably a fairly large gap between fructose and mushrooms. You know, whatever
But Ben, it's like you don't, if you're like under a bridge, you see somebody under a bridge, you don't go up to them and say, "What happened, man? You lost everything and you're living under a bridge." And they go like, "Yeah, Starbucks, man.
Yeah.
I threw my whole life away."
It's very naive. And we can tell by its consequences, both on your own mind, on your own behavior, on your own. We can tell that there is a vast range of consequences. The second part of it is it's a really bad two wrongs make a right kind of argument. And it's pretty weak. If anything, you know, first of all, can we be adults enough to be able to look at each issue separately? If caffeine is a problem, let's talk about it. That's fine. Challenge me. Let's talk about it. But to say that, okay, so you drink coffee, I do pot, really you're just, what's the phrase? You're just hanging yourself with your own rope. It's like, okay, you're undercutting your own argument by saying, well, this might be bad, but that's bad too. Okay, we're all bad. Let's deal with it.
Right. And there's another way of looking at it as well, in a similar vein, which is, as being pointed out here, one of the big things that has brought governments and et cetera to start legalizing in different ways is the medicinal properties of it, and it can be used to help, and that's often an argument used. But
right.
If you take different substances that help us in terms of being a medicine, being a drug that helps our health or deals with an ailment, you don't see people, well, you do, but not in a positive way. You don't see people then going, I'm going to use this when I don't really need it for medicinal purposes. I'm just going to use it for recreational purposes and it's okay, because
they do, but not in the same spirit. It's like, it's more
right.
Like it becomes an addiction or it becomes secretive.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Because you're aware of the dangers of it. It's like, yes, let's use it under, you know, doctor supervision and making sure, you know, doing it in a way that is helpful towards health. But if you then start taking it outside of that realm, it and where there aren't limits and you're kind of just doing it in your own accord, there are so many risks related to that with any kind of medication.
Right.
And same for cannabis as a substance.
Right.
It's just you're taking risks with your own body and with your own mind that are clear evidence. See, this is one of the things. I've got lots of friends as well that have used it, and they tell similar stories to you know, some of what Chad shared. I worked in a drug rehab center in the UK, and half of my guys that I was helping were on different forms of cannabis. And nearly all of them presented two very clear things and talked about it with me all the time. One was paranoia. When it gets too far down the line, when you just keep using and increasing, the paranoia thing comes in for a lot of people. And the other being the problems with memory and absent-mindedness and just, you know, struggling with...
You mean like not making your appointments when you're supposed to be on a podcast and you just forget?
I believe that's called the elephant in the room.
So I just, you know, when I hear that, it's just hard to connect that and then say, so, okay, well, if I'm to play the devil's advocate, then people will say, like, well, I just use it once or twice a year and it's just for fun and... You know, but for me, then we go back to the wisdom thing, and I'm with David on this. It's like with so many other things, what do I want to use my life for and my time for? And if I have so much space in my life for all these different things that have different effects and risks, then maybe I need to find something more to live for. And like one thing that hit me a little while ago, I was listening to Elon Musk's interview, who by the way, you know, turned up using pot once, right? On
Joe Rogan podcast.
Yeah, yeah. So he said this, he was talking about selling a bunch of his properties, and Joe Rogan asked him, why are you doing this? And he said something about that he didn't want to waste his time. He said, there's so many things to worry about in this world, and I've got all these possessions and these things, and if I just get rid of a bunch of them, then I don't have to worry about them, I don't have to think, and I don't have to consume my time with this, because I have so little time, and there are these crucial things that I need to do with my life, and every time I'm doing something that's wasting my time, I'm thinking I could be, and in his case, discovering how to get to Mars, or, you know, solving the problem of you know, electric cars, or whatever. And I heard that, and I was like, I'm a follower of Jesus, and I don't think enough like that. I'm like, he's concerned about things that in my mind are lesser than, you know, when you meet Jesus, you realize that all those things, even like changing the environment or whatever, are so important. But when you meet Jesus, you realize that this is something so much more, like life or death, so much more important. And I'm going, am I using my life for what really matters? And so when all these issues come up and things that, as you pointed out, David, are distractions, I think I do have to ask myself, am I really living for what's worth living? Or am I getting lost and distracted in too many things?
Yeah, but also I think part of this is that what makes me grow is when I persevere, you know, when I face reality. And right. What I've noticed in when you medicate a lot, or people that have medicated a lot, is you stop growing, you stop maturing, and you'll notice people who don't face the tough things that we all have to go through, that they'll be biologically old, but they're still very immature emotionally and spiritually. And that's another thing that happens when you medicate yourself all the time, is it keeps you immature, it keeps you undeveloped. And so there's so many reasons why, whether it's pot or any other chemical, why you shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, Josh Red, former NLM drummer and current friend, he brings up the argument about, you know, and I'm assuming he's being the devil's advocate, although Josh, I don't know, man, I don't know what's happening behind closed doors.
Yeah, but isn't he from Kansas? Isn't Josh from Kansas?
Yeah, yeah. They're all about the weed out there.
Well, what else you gonna do, right? Am I wrong? I mean, I'm in Minnesota. I ain't exactly in the rolling hills of California or whatever. But look, wait, I don't know how many rolling hills there are. I think that's Tennessee. Either way, he brings out the whole argument in Genesis, which, you know, pro-pop people often go to, which is, then God said, verse 29, chapter 1, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it, they will be your food. Well, first of all, food. Now you'll be like, what about edibles? I mean, come on. Don't care. Yeah.
Don't smoke it. Just eat it.
Edibles are so filling.
No, look, again, I think we're... To me, it's like we can find every little context and every little excuse and every little way around it when deep down it is a motivation of the heart. Like, why are you doing this? And again, this is why it would have been so great to talk to Craig, because I think he sincerely says that he's doing this for spiritual reasons. And that's what makes this so difficult in some ways. And we talked about this before. It's almost easier to deal with someone who's just like, it's just fun. I mean, then we can kind of go after that. But what makes it more pernicious is the idea that you'd use it for spiritual reasons. Clearly, this is not intended as a food. It's clearly, if it clouds your mind, if it intoxicates you, if it blocks your ability to connect with God, then that's not how God intended for it to be used. And by all means, maybe there are, you know, maybe the incredible medicinal properties were intended for exactly that. But what do we know about sin? It takes what's good and perverts it. It takes what's meant for our good and turns it into something for our destruction. We know that about everything, including food, including sex, including relationships. These are all good things that God created, but we don't say, well, God created sex, so why are there prohibitions against it? It's like, well, clearly they're meant to be used in a certain way.
One of the things that Craig said was that when you use pot correctly, that it has some benefits, you know. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but it made me, I read this article.
Like spiritual benefits?
Yeah, or just like it makes you think clearer, or it helps you, I don't know, get more focused on something, which I didn't think pot did, but that's what he said. But then I read this article that came out on the European Neuropsychological Pharmacological, Neuropsychopharmacological.
You had it right the first time. Just go. But
anyway, okay. So it's a study that came out in April 15th, 2020. And it says this: cocaine has positive aspects to it. For example, there's new evidence that suggests that cocaine enhances creativity. That is, if it's used correctly, it enhances divergent thinking, the type of creativity associated with brainstorming. In fact, you can, if you want, you can go on online and find many serious articles that talk about how cocaine, if it's used properly, can enhance creativity. So the next question I have is, so are we going to be having a conversation in the future about Christians should use cocaine?
Yeah, I'm already starting christiancocaine.com. Don't steal it. Nobody steal it.
There's an amazing anecdotal story of how Freud discovered cocaine. You know, and this was when it was still not discovered as in he discovered its uses. And it was like, he was like writing and he was like staying up all night. And it, like, he was like raving in his journal about this is the wonder drug and how I can. And then of course it all started to go poorly and the guy ended up in a psych ward. But yeah, that's no here nor there. There is that. Go ahead, Luke.
No, I was just going to say that I think it's to continue answering Josh's question. We do this at the end of the day. It is about each of us taking responsibility to use wisdom, to know what we do or don't do with our time and what things we put into our body. We do have to make those decisions. It's not going to work for us to come up here with a simple black and white answer. Here's a Bible verse. Don't do weed. Don't do pot. And that's it. That's easy. Just go away and obey. You know, it's not going to be like that. We all have to study God's word, get to know him, and then decide what is best for our lives. And there are so many things in this world, both natural substances and man-made things, that can be fun and that can harm us. And then we have to decide which of those things are good and okay and would honor Jesus, and which of those things are going to be harmful and are going to lead us astray. And, you know, are there, because it's, for me, that's always been a funny argument, like, oh, but it's natural, it's a natural product. Yeah, well, there are a bunch of plants and seeds and berries that if you eat, they'll poison you, they'll kill you, and because you're smart, you don't eat them.
Yeah, but also people say, well, if it's organic, it's good for you. But right, I mean, poop is organic. I don't want to.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like
exactly. But for me, we've talked about it being recreational, fun, and we, you know, our question around that is, how am I using my time? Is that something that's really going to edify my life? It's a natural substance. Well, there's so many natural substances. For me, the one thing that we haven't addressed a lot yet here that is the one that Craig seems to be bringing as his main point in his pamphlets and website is, well, maybe there's a positive thing to it, a spiritual thing to it. And I'd really love to dig in a little bit into that, because I think there's some real dangers there. And that's something I'd want to bring, like, as a clear thing for, you know, everybody who's listening and for us to think about, is the dangers in it. So go ahead, Ben, you're going to bring that
up. Here's what's going to happen is we're going to have him on at some point. I don't know what happened, man. There's so many jokes. I'm showing so much self-control, though. People probably don't think so, but I am. We will have him on, and then I think we dig into that. We can maybe wrap up with a few things here. Again, for those that have been so faithful in streaming, thank you. Frustrated, we are. What am I, Yoda? What have I been smoking?
frustrated, we are.
Once I started, I had to finish it. That's another good argument. So I do want to talk about Josh's question, because he's asking a lot of really good questions. He asks about the appeal people have made that it enhances their creativity, right? Coffee helps me focus. Pot can enhance my creativity. And the thing I kind of want to close with is, from my perspective, what I think is so amazing about Christianity, about Jesus, is that God removed all of the conduits. He removed all of the intermediaries. He removed anything between me and him. And in sending his son, He gave me everything I need, no matter who I am, no matter where I am, to be in relationship with him. He gave me the Holy Spirit to fill me with power, to open my eyes, to illuminate scripture, to, you know, but it's this, as David said, it's this brilliant, present, clear-minded, sober-minded, willing to confront the difficulties of life. It's not absent or withdrawn or in the clouds. It's really, it's powerful and supernatural, but present and in the face of reality. And I would say that similar things apply to creativity. Like I, as an artist, I believe God created me and everything in it. And he is my ultimate source of creativity. And I think if anything, Christian artists don't ask God enough. They don't tap into the Holy Spirit enough. They don't say, they under-spiritualize creativity. They don't need pot. I think we need to bring Jesus into our creative process and say, God, help me to write better riffs. God, help me to make better movies. God, help me to write better lyrics. Give me ideas that, you know, I think C.S. Lewis was incredibly inspired by the Holy Spirit. I think Tolkien was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these brilliant allegorical stories. And so I just think, again, it's a substitute and it's a counterfeit and it's a lesser than. And also, I think that often these things, like sin so often does, it promises in the short term and punishes in the end. That it's this short term, it's how Satan works. It's like you get that short term hit for that long term suffering. And that ultimately its design on you is the death of your mind, not the illuminating of it. If anything, I would say, why are you settling for that? Ask the Holy Spirit to enliven your creativity. And I think it would be amazing what God would do if we'd start asking those prayers.
That's a really good point, Ben. And actually, that for me, it's the same response I'd give to the argument that it's spiritual in some way, that it connects me with God. It's like you said, the gospel brings us this reality where there is nothing between us and God. We can have direct contact with him. We can know him as we are here right now. Don't need the help of a substance. Anything that would tell me, hey, you need this to help you do this. You need this substance to help you get through the day, or you need this substance to help you be creative or to help you connect with God. All of that is an enslavement. And I think that Paul dealt with it a lot in Colossians, because they were talking about all these different things that were kind of additions to their faith in Jesus, like a philosophy or a spiritual force or a tradition that would help them be more spiritual. And Paul deals with this throughout the letter of Colossians. And one verse here in Colossians 2:6-8, he says, "So then, just as you received Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ." And so I think whenever we're starting to get distracted and have something that people are giving us and telling us, you know, do this and use this and it'll help you be a better person or be more creative or be more spiritual, I can say, no, I don't need any of these things. I have Jesus. It's all I need. And it is, as you said, Ben, the best way for me to be creative, for me to get to know God more, for me to walk and be the best man or woman that I can.
And also, I totally agree with that. And also, what Tyler just said, Tyler commented and said, yeah, there's a spiritual element that he experienced when he was high, but it was negative. And I have lots of friends when I went to university with that were really, really heavy into pot, and they would talk about this negative spiritual impact that it had in their lives. So, you know, I think it opens you up. It can open you up to a lot of bad spiritual things. And a lot of people have the idea today that, well, if it's spiritual, it's good, but that's not true at all. Right. And I think that's a something I wanted to talk to Craig about as well. Hopefully, we'll have that conversation.
Well, because in that scene, there's a whole thing of Eastern spirituality that comes in. There's a real danger there. And we've had, I forgot his name now, on the podcast once, who came from that background and was talking about all of that.
Steve Bankart,
exactly. Yeah. Who was pointing out all the demonic forces involved in that, as Tyler has just pointed out on the chat again. And I think that there's a real danger there. And there's that scene has an aspect of spirituality that is not biblical spirituality. So when we say something is spiritual, we have to decide what do we mean by spiritual. And it's
right.
And when I say that kind of spirituality is completely different, it's more like a human centered Gnosticism. It's where you say, I can discover truth, I want to be illuminated, and you search for knowledge. It's not the kind of revelation that the Bible gives you. The Bible defines spirituality as a relationship with God that includes repentance, that includes getting to know him and walking with him, not this kind of spiritual search of meditation, of illumination, of trying to think and expand my mind. All those things are, it's not what we find in the Bible. So yeah, it's totally different.
Yeah, Luke, what makes this conversation so unique and what we're all so excited about is to talk with someone who is saying, I am a follower of Jesus and cannabis is enhancing my relationship with Jesus. Because I think that's the, in all the pot stories and cannabis experiences that most of us are referencing or ourselves have experienced, it's very easy to say, well, this, maybe we've experienced it, maybe we haven't, but it's been a negative connotation. So to hear someone say that is actually quite shocking, just because it seems so weird. Like the bar is so low for getting high, you know, like with cannabis, but the bar is so high when it comes to self-surrender and self-sacrifice and looking out for others and treating others the way you want to be treated and loving your neighbor as yourself. And like the true context of what it means to be a Christian, that bar is so high and is so hard to reach apart from God's intervention versus here's you know, this edible, here's this mint, here's this joint, here's this whatever. It's like, well, that's so, I mean, that's so easy. And I don't know. I get, anyway, it's just.
Yeah. And again, there are aspects to this conversation that are valid to discuss. I think the whole criminalization side of it is valid to discuss. I think guys serving 10-year jail terms because they had a little bit of weed on them, that's a whole different discussion. I've been watching a lot about the whole the way crack infiltrated the ghettos in the 80s in America, and it's complicated and it's sad and it's tragic, and there are aspects to the drug conversation that are need to be discussed. That's not what we're talking about here. Also, I would put myself in the camp where medicinal use can be very good. I still think there needs to be wisdom, just like there needs to be wisdom when you're using Vicodin. Like, it can be really helpful, but it can be really dangerous. And so in the same vein, we need to be careful. There is nuance, but man, I just think we need to be very cautious. It's one thing to wrestle with these things in community, with friends, but to be actively promoting this and to normalize it and to say it's okay for everyone. And in fact, it's actually positive. Hopefully we can have this conversation, because I think that kind of public endorsement opens public criticism, and in fact requires public criticism, because there are a lot of people who aren't sure. And I think that this could lead people down a very, very destructive path. Right. And it has serious consequences that we need to, despite all the jokes and all the easy ways to laugh at the whole thing, this really isn't a laughing matter, actually. This is for some people, this is life and death. You know, people roll their eyes at the cliches, but it is a gateway drug. It rarely stops there. Like any idolatry left unchecked, it expands and it progresses if not submitted to Jesus. And all of us need to do that. If coffee's a problem, call me out. Let's deal with it. But don't use two wrongs make a right kind of weak argumentation. It's like we are mature enough to be able to deal with each thing, hold it up to the light of truth and scripture. And if it's wrong, let's hold each other accountable. But I want better arguments than, well, you use, you know, you overeat and I do pot. What's the difference? Well, the two are kind of connected. And second of all, that's a lame argument. Peace.
Hey, Nigel wants me to tell, he texted me and he wants to know if he can add to the conversation.
Do we have a choice?
Okay, so He wants to know if what you guys, if some of you would, some of you would recall Zertby, you know, the whole thing that happened with him.
Who's no. Zertby?
The rat that got high, the high rat.
Yeah, so that, yeah, it was a rat that my friend in university, he wanted to do an experiment. So this rat Zertby lived in a garbage can.
Cool.
And so Zertby was living in this garbage can, and he wanted to know what the impact would be, because Zertby was always looking depressed and not happy. So he wanted to know what the impact would be if he blew marijuana on him every day and played Led Zeppelin really loud, you know, as loud as this. So every day he blew marijuana on Zertby, and he played marijuana, or he played Led Zeppelin super loud. And
which is the same as playing marijuana.
Yeah, whatever. But apparently the impact is that Zertby did feel more comfortable in the garbage can, but he also died. And so he just wanted me to share that with everyone.
He felt comfortably numb, but ultimately died.
Are we supposed to take something away from that, or just feel kind of depressed?
Inspiration. That's what we're
I don't know
to
what
take
I'm just tell. This is Nigel. I'm just telling you what he said.
I think a bunch of people repented when they heard that story about the rat.
You know what? I think we just may have stumbled on a great new tactic, which is to just pretend we have a really high profile guest.
Yeah.
And then just repeatedly throughout the episode be like, where is he anyway?
Yeah, I can't believe he didn't turn up.
As Josh says, we're going to be having a combo platter of Matthew McConaughey, Elon Musk, and Justin Bieber on the next episode.
Yep.
So just tune in. I mean, they'll be there. They'll be there.
Yeah,
it's
going
to be great. That's it, guys. Actually, this has been shockingly fun. Hey, look, yeah. The commenter of the day was Josh Red. You received the Golden Naval Award.
Thank you, Josh.
Josh Red showed up in style.
You'll be receiving the official Provoke and Inspire Speedo, cape, monocle, boots, basket, and lotion. So look forward to that. And David kind of rolled his eyes. I don't know why.
No, I did. I'm not doing nothing.
Yeah.
Hey, Craig, we still want you on, man. Come on, dude. You could do it. Get the headphones off. Join
you'll
us.
You'll have much better responses to the stuff we're saying here. We're just making up arguments. You need to give us the real ones.
Yeah. All right, I'm out. This is getting embarrassing for all of us. Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Provoke and Inspire podcast. To listen to past episodes, search Provoke and Inspire on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever podcasts are found. See you next time.